Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
memory.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be,
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, and to hear your word. And Father, I'm asking you to help us all to renew our minds, Father, in and with the accordance of your word. Help us to strengthen our faith, Father, so that we can walk as your children in these days here on this earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Judges chapter 1 and beginning here with verse 1. It says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with them. You see, these two, they had a close relationship, those two tribes did. And they did help each other to take the land that God had given. Now, verse 4. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek, 10,000 men. That was a good size army, wasn't it? Now, Persites, they was one group of six different groups that was in the land of Canaan. So, you know, when God gave that land to Israel, there was a lot of groups that had to be moved and taken over. Number five. And they found the Danai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Persizzites, but Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. They cut his thumbs and toes off. It don't say why, it just says they done it. Just as humiliating, I guess. Verse 7. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so God has requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now, he's gone. 8. Now the children of Judah fought against Jerusalem, and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. They set Jerusalem on fire. 9. And after the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sishu and Ahiman and Telamai. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Sephar. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sephar and taketh it to him, will I give Achshu, my daughter, to wife, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Asha, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted from off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. She's wanting the land and water naturally, because it takes water to grow stuff. Without water, you're not going to grow much. And you know, we have this word here, and all, and just to make sure everybody understands, it says there in 14, where she moves him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off of her ass. And Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? We know that back then, donkeys were used for travel, and they were all called asses. And Jesus rode into Jerusalem when he was taken prisoner on an ass's coat. So now, all right. Here in 16. And the children of Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. 17. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. Also, Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. They had iron chariots. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. They didn't drive them out. They just let them live with them. You know. Now, all right, I had to turn the page. And they kind of stick together a little bit. All right, we'll go to 22 now. Verse 22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And went, pardon that phone, I'm not even close where it's at. Let me go take it off its hook. Pardon me a minute. Hello? Quit calling this number. Thank you. Well, I shut one up, but I can't shut the other one up. That guitar, Declan, maybe. That's just a bunch. Gets on these phones anyway to aggravate. 9 times out of 10, you could answer that, they wouldn't even answer you. All right. We're going to pick back up here now to 24. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city. They said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword. But they let go of the man and all his family. Well, he turned that one loose. Now the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Ternaka and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Alevum and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites could dwell in that land. Now 28. That's a lot of towns and names there. Now 28. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Jezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Jezer among them. And neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naphtali, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Achor, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alav, nor of Arzib, nor of Elaba, nor of Aftan, nor of Rehob, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean, nor the inhabitants of Bethan, but he dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Bethshean and of Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. But the Amorites would dwell in among Hirs in Ajalon and in Shelebrin. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries, and the coast of the Amorites was from the going up Akrabim from the rock and upward. Now you know, you see, they was told to take those lands. And they didn't do that. They moved in among them and let them stay. So what is the Lord God going to think about that? Well, here in chapter 2, verse 1, says, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Now, this angel is talking straight, because that was the covenant that was made between God and Abraham. 2. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? He's wanting to know why they've done this, and they've not done what they were told to do. Now, they're wanting to live among them instead. Verse 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Because you see, all these people were idol worshipers. They had idols. They did not worship the Lord God. They worshiped idols. And now here Israel has moved in among them instead of driving them out like they were told. And the Lord knows what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of them pick up with their beliefs. Now, verse 4, and it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now they cry, as the angel is talking to them. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Now, 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders, all the days of the elders, that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now, see, Joshua kept things pretty straight. A lot of this other happening there is in chapter 1, Joshua had died. We're talking here now about what Joshua himself had done before his death. In 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, Timurath, in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. Now, he's dead. 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You see, this is what happens when mankind does not know the Lord God. Back then, they didn't have what you and I have. We have no excuse whatsoever to not follow the Lord God. There is no excuse we can use to not follow the Lord God, because we have everything we need. God is seeing that we have it. We're told exactly what to do. In the New Testament, which is the testament that is covered by the blood of Jesus. They didn't have the indwelling of the Lord Jesus. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that. It was mainly just on their own, and they was either to obey the Lord God as they were told by another man, and a lot of them just didn't do it, and they paid dear prices for it, as coming through this floor, coming through Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy and all, we found where a lot of them paid the price of not being in obedience with God, just as we will. And I want you to really think about that. Most all of us has been in the kitchen and all and burnt a finger or a hand. We know what kind of pain that was, don't we? You think about you being put into a lake of fire. Think about that. And the pain. And all. And no way ever out of it. It will be forever. And yet, it doesn't have to be that way. We choose it. When we choose not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we choose not to walk by the word of Almighty God and to worship and praise him and to live by his word. We don't and can't blame God for being put there. Put ourselves there. He has gave us everything we need, and he will help us to receive it all when we go to him. And we start out by knowing that we need something far greater than ourselves, and we go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we repent of our sins. And when we do that, the word tells us then he will forgive us of those sins. He'll forgive our sins. And we ask him then to come into our lives. And the word tells us that he will. And you see, the thing about that is we still have to grow. So therefore, when we've been forgiven, we get into the Word of God and we start studying and we find our place with a group. That is believers in the truth of the Word of God. And we begin to grow in knowledge, in strength, and in our walk with the Father until we become born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Being born again. You see, we have to be born again in order to get into the kingdom of God. The Word tells us that. We'll be getting back into that again here in a little while. You find that, actually, in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus that no man can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. And that means you have his Holy Spirit. Think about it. Now, that Holy Spirit's living in you. That Holy Spirit comes, he gives us the revelations and all and a greater understanding of the Word of Almighty God. You see, back then they didn't have this. But then too, we see where after Joshua died, they wasn't doing what they were told to do. Now, verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them. You see, they took up with these people they let stay instead of driving them out like they were told. And they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies around about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. You think you don't have to pay a price for not obeying God? Now, they're in the hands of their enemies, the ones they were told to drive out. Now they're in their hands. And whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. And as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed, all because they would not obey the word of God and what he had commanded. 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges. But they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. Again, you see, they're walking contrary. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings. By reason of them, they oppressed them and vexed them. You see, these people had forgotten the spiritual victories of the generations of conquest, and only the mercy of a gracious God kept Israel from disappearing as a nation. Think about that. And they went many, many times walking against the word of God, and still most of Israel is still not walking with God. After knowing all of this, because this was all done by their forefathers and all, and they are still trying, for the most part right now, still trying to live by the law. We are under grace, not under law. Since the death, the resurrection, and Jesus' ascension back to heaven, and sending back to us the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, setting up this church age, things changed. And the way is not made hard for you and I at all if we will choose to walk the right way. It's hard when we choose really to walk contrary to the grace of God. Now, verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. You see, it's all back to themselves. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, because they are not walking according to what he had said. He's not going to help them drive these people out anymore. Now, 22. That through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. You see, there's a trial coming. 23. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivering he them into the hands of Joshua. He didn't do either one. He just left them. Now, that is the end of chapter 2. We're not going to be going into 3 this morning. God willing, we'll be going into this evening. But you see the difference that God has made for you and I. And the thing of it is we have so much good that we can obtain in our lives if we will walk with him instead of trying to do it on our own. Because doing it on our own is not only going to give us trouble here on this earth, but when we step out into eternity is when the real trouble for us begins. Because then we're out in eternity without God and no way to get him, nor to get to him. It's up to us now whether we will choose to walk with him or whether we will choose to walk our own ways and walk into destruction and eventually a lake of fire that will burn forever and no way ever out of it. I can't speak for no one but me, but I don't want it. I want no part of that fire. I want my Lord Jesus Christ, I want my Heavenly Father, and I want my Holy Spirit in my life, because there's joy in having them. Just as yesterday, sitting in my room there in my chair, and the power of the Lord came upon me, went through my body. All the joy and the glory of all of that feeling, there is nothing else like it. Think about it, and I want you to always to be safe. And the only way for that to happen is for you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Lay them aside. Give them to him. And he said that he'll put them into the river of forgetfulness. And begin to walk with him and Almighty God and listening to the voice to do whatever God will ask of you to do. And let me tell you something. Man or woman, there is a work for you. And the moment you become that born-again child of God, he will put you to work. He has that job already planned for you. Now, we're not all called to do the same work, but we are all called to work. And it's all in His Word. That's why we need to spend as much time in His Word as we can.